right. And with that said, we do want to remind everyone about our part two message from Elder Paul Price, Life's Unexpected Crosses. I believe this is going back to 1966. What a tremendous message. And also, we want to also thank, give a special thanks to Brother Jacob Roseberry, who's been working diligently this morning. I heard it sounds very, very good. He took some time to really refine it, get rid of some of that excess sound that we were hearing last week. So we hope everyone will be able to listen and enjoy and appreciate this message from Elder Paul Price. Brother Jacob, go right ahead and let's start on.
He left home that morning. He had no idea he'd be under a cross with Jesus. He left home that day. He had no plans for such a situation as this. Lo and behold, when he gets underneath that cross, he can smell the smell of fresh blood. He can smell the stench of someone that has gone through the sweat of agony all day and all night. Under that cross, he takes a place with Jesus. I can't help but believe somehow the kindness of Jesus in the eyes of our Lord, for he never received a favor from a mortal man but what he gave in return appreciation. I believe from his eyes sparkled something through all that bloodshot speck of his face and his eyes that said to Simon, thank you. I believe,
I believe
somehow between there and Golgotha, he came, he was fellowshipping the sufferings of Jesus. He heard the crowd screaming. He heard the angry language. He heard the cursings. And the first time in his life, he got the feel of what it felt like to have somebody hate you, somebody despise you, somebody wanting to kill you. Like a young soldier said, it was a terrible awakening the first time I went into battle and realized that men were shooting at me and wanted to kill me. Yes, it was, friend. It was words of anger. And seemingly as this man could comfort his heart, they're not meant for me, they're meant for him. But somehow he feels they must be me as well. My friends will look at me out here. My neighbors will see me out here. And they'll wonder why I'm doing all of this. But I think between there and Calvary, that something happened to that man. Because somehow when you fellowship his suffering, you can't be the same. There you have it, brother. There's life's unexpected cross. There's life's compelling cross. And it's born while the rest of the people look on. He passes by John, and John is weeping, but John can't help him. He passes by Mary, but she can't help him. Finally, when you find the last scene of these people that were his friends, I see Mary and some of the disciples standing at the foot of the cross, and the Bible said, and they stood by the cross. That is, as near as they could go, Simon went a little nearer. He went under. Dear friend, tonight I'm glad for this apostolic message. And I can shout with you in worship and thank God for this message. But somehow in my heart I can't help but believe. We can't capture this world until we feel the weight of a cross. I don't think we'll evangelize a nation until we feel the burden of the call of the Almighty God to plant this cross in every nation and tongue in this world. In Portland, Oregon tonight, there lay a man that for 17 years, I believe it was, he had a church. This man was a district superintendent. This man had everything to think that he had made success. But I want you to know, I found out, position does not mean that you're free from a cross. You're just given a different kind of a cross. Some people think if I can attain a position, I've made success. Success isn't measured in how high your position. It's measured in how well you carry your cross. Amen. That means the smallest young man and woman and the smallest young person in the church, how well you carry your cross determines how well you serve Christ. And I think of this man, Brother Sism, as he's upon the bed of afflictions. I can explain this. Why would a man with this burning burden for India leave all of this and this fellowship? He wept and cried when he heard he could not arrive here and see this fine group of people. Oh, if we could just transport ourselves in that little hospital room or wherever he is and let him see all of us in a glimpse of a moment of time, I'm sure his heart would leap up with joy. But somehow underneath it all, friend, we would not have over several thousand believers. We would not have mission stations in India unless this man felt the burden of the cross to put this cross in India. You don't just shout this cross over there. You don't just go along and have everything, as it were, conducive. Even the music is different there. But let me tell you, the converts are the same. They shout the victory and glorify the living God. But I want us to know tonight, and the burden of my heart is this. I believe God's laid upon this United Pentecostal Church some crosses that you're compelled to bear if you expect to keep the divine blessing and glory of eternal God on this church. I do not believe the Lord wants to see a church lose out with God. I do not take the prophecy that because we're 40 years old, we're going to backslide. Do not believe because we have been in this way this far and we've grown this much that we'll give in to the worldliness of this age. No, sir, friend, I don't believe it. I got my foot down on a conviction and a faith in the Almighty God. I'm sticking with the old book and the cross of Calvary. I believe this will put this church on the work and on the field of the Lord of the earth. I'm happy for this church. I'm glad to see what I see here. But let me tell you something. There's many a pastor's come here for a good drink of water. He's left a hard place. There's not many shouts in his congregation because not many people in there. He's got a few prayer warriors. He's got a hard city. He feels a burden that says, this city is yours. It belongs to you. Go out and capture it. And the spirit of Caleb rises up in him. And he goes out and knocks on his doors. And he reaches all the people he can reach and preach and teach. And he works and prays. Yes, friend, I'm so happy that we have big churches. It encourages a small church. At least once in a while we can say, yes, that we're this large. And oh, we've got some large churches there and here yon. Thank God for them. But I want to say a word to the saints in those large churches. The test of your mettle is when you have to leave that church and move to another part of the country, and you won't get under the burden of a little old small church, and you won't get under the load of that little church. I have little faith in your shout. Praise the Lord. Brother, I'll tell you, the field today is getting hard, but it is not too hard, but it's hard. It's hard for slackers. It's hard for the lazy man. It's hard for the callous in heart. But I tell you, the field can be penetrated with the divine anointing of the Holy Spirit and the love of God in your heart to get this message out. It can be broken. I believe this church, some have tried to interpret, because we may have failures from here and yon, and we'll always have that. Even there, the church had it. But somehow, there's a trembling feeling in my heart. I do not feel even willing to preach this message. I did not come to you as an example of this message. I only come to you looking to this message and say, God, give me the grace that I'll need to bear what cross comes on my back. But I'll say this. I feel the burden that I can detect from our ministry is the feeling that we may be tempted to make this cross easy. He died on his. You'll die on yours. Amen. It wasn't given to put on your lapel. It was given to put your life on. The cross of Christ was not given to be polished and look beautiful in front of a people. It was, the Lord said, take up your cross. Every morning when you arise from your bed, your cross is the first thing you pick up. That's the first thing. Leave it down for a day and you'll come back disappointed. Pick it up. The cross of righteousness must be picked up every morning. You must live righteous. You must live right. You must treat your fellow man right. You must be fair in your dealings. You must be fair with a grocerman. You must be fair with a man on the job. You must give your employer a fair day's work. You better be right. Remember, the Bible said righteousness, peace, and then joy. Reverse the process and you'll miss it. You can't get the joy of the Holy Ghost unless you're right with God. And if you're right with God, you better be right with your fellow man. A conscience void of offense toward God and toward man, then I can have a joy in my heart and a peace in my soul in the Holy Ghost. I've had little results from people that have been rejoicing over the fact that this Holy Ghost experience has fell over on the many denominations. I do not question what God is doing. That's His business and He's doing it. I am not about to give you a judgment on what I think He's doing and what He isn't doing. If He wants to save the whole world, that's His business. But He never gave me the authority to preach anything but what this book says. That's all I can go about right here. All right. But I've noticed the experience that I've had. I've had people come into the church, and they slip in, and they have just been experienced with the Holy Ghost someplace. And they come into the church, and they get heated up. We had one lady walked in, and she did not even know how to clap her hand, but she wanted to learn. And she was quite awkward in trying to learn. But she learned. She got in the spirit of the service with us and shouted with us. We finally baptized her in Jesus' name. And she prayed around the altar. But as far as putting this cross on her, she'd never care. No. I like your joy, I like your spirit, I like your church, but I don't like your cross.
All right.
Don't ever forget, the Holy Ghost was never given to be a ticket to glory. It was given to be a guide to heaven. The Bible said the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth. And when he becomes to the place that He is not a guide to you, your Holy Ghost doesn't work. It's over. When you cease to follow Him, you've lost out with God. I've had no results with any of them. And we've had numbers of them come through. They go off with a good little prayer meeting over here, and they can all pray over each other and say quite a few words of prophecy. Great things are going to happen through them. But I've got my first one yet to bring a soul into the church and pray through the Holy Ghost. I've got my first one that'll be a Sunday school teacher and be faithful in the house of God. I've got my first one that I could say ever amount to anything, but I don't say that there hasn't been some. I'm just giving you my experience. Not only do we rejoice when a man gets filled with the Holy Ghost, we cannot fully rejoice until we see that man embrace the cross. Because the Lord said, except you take up the cross and follow me, and deny yourself, you cannot be my disciple. Brother, you might have been filled with the Holy Ghost and sat down the aisle and had a wonderful experience, but where is your cross? Where is your cross? He won't be asking you for how many good meetings you were in. He'll ask you, where is the cross? Where is the cross? Friend, I'll tell you, the cross of righteousness must be met every day. And I believe it's right for a man or woman to be a member of a church and get in there and labor in that church and become a part of that church, and not only become a part of it, but support it with their prayers and with their attendance and with their tithes. You can make the cross easy, but you'll have a weak Christian, if you can call him that. The thing that disturbs my heart is that sometimes the cry of the people, the other denominations had a day, as someone mentioned here, and their day was a day of glory and conviction. Whitefield messages and many of the other, Penny and some of the others, their message was such dynamic messages. But every one of those that caused an awakening in this earth were men that were strong on holiness and righteousness. And let me tell you, when I begin to worry is when we begin to fix it up so that we can condone sin, let sin stay with us, and feel like it's all right. I tell you, I feel like the cross must be embraced with a clean life, a holy life, a devoted life. It takes a lot of patience for a pastor to make a Christian acceptable in the sight of God. They're not lords of God's heritage going out, as it were, and almost just chopping everybody's neck off the first moment of time. But I'll tell you for sure, when the congregation's pressure begins to pressure the preacher to cut down on what the Bible teaches and preaches, you mark it down. Ichabod is being spelled out on the front door. Amen. Give me the people that can stay in the church when trouble comes. Give me the people that can pray when nobody else in the church will pray. Give me the people that won't be talking and gossiping when everybody else is doing it. Give me the people that got faith in their pastor and wait until he can solve the problem before they judge the problem. Give me a people that love the cross, that love the cause, love the unity of the Spirit and the bonds of peace. I'll show you a people that embraces the cross. Praise the Lord! There's no two ways about it. This cross must not be lessened. It must be maintained. Brother Morgan brought us a wonderful message last night, and from the man of God that leads this district, I heard him say that our standards are not high enough. I agree. I'm trying to climb up there by the help of the Lord, by the grace of God. But friend, I'm not for lowering any of them. Let's keep what we have and press on toward perfection. There is more ahead. Every step of the cross, the path of the cross, is a drop of blood. Every move of the cross, there's an anguish and a burden of heart. There's going to be some pressure on somebody. There's the cross of holiness. I believe that the cross of holiness must never be dimmed. I believe God wants my eyes to be holy.
All right.
Whether you see it on television or you see it down the street, your eyes ought to be holy. Wickedness is everywhere. And there's enough of human carnality still in this old body that the world can make it quiver. You look on the world and begin to lust for the world. The love of God seems to depart very quickly. I believe that there are some things that should be compelled on us. I thank God for that. There was a compelling decision made by this conference some few years ago, especially on us ministers, that said we can't have a television. I've never turned one on. But I might have turned one on if they hadn't compelled me. I'm not boasting in myself. But let me tell you something. Since they compelled me, and I love that fellowship more, I don't think I'd be true to them to find a secret place to go ahead and indulge without them knowing. Friend, if this thing can't be done in our hearts sincerely, it's not going to be worth a dime. I may have your favor, I might have your approval, but let me tell you this, you won't judge me that day, he'll judge me. He knows my heart, he knows my mind, he knows my feeling, he knows my spirit. I cannot stand up here and tell you that I wouldn't be tempted by it. But let me tell you, I'm so glad they compelled me to bear the cross of not having a plea. I'll tell you this. Every Christian in our church that backslid got one right away. That's right. And I'm not saying this to be as a hypocritical statement to us. I'm saying that I feel the pressures of this world bearing in on us. I feel the pressures of the evil of this city upon us. I feel the pressure of the cities of our own district upon us. Don't tell me, friend, you can walk down the street and hear all that beat going on. They know the tune of your flesh. They know the music that your flesh will move to. They know what your eyes will click on to. They know you, brother. They spend millions studying what your nature wants. Dear God, we'll never get the gospel out if we're going to pet the flesh and coddle this old body and make it some one of us true to the devil. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
There's something about being holy in spirit. Oh, for a sweet spirit. I like people that are clean spirited. You can feel, you know, cleanness there. You feel something from them that contributes to you, if your soul, your spirit. Praise the Lord. Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I want the Lord to feel at home in my soul. I want him to feel like he belongs there. And you can go to the living room, the bedroom, where you want to go in my own heart and say, well, I want to sit here and I want to go there. Oh, it's awful hard to close the closet doors and say, Lord, you can't go in there. But that's at the very place you want to go see why. There's something about the Spirit of the living God that makes it so that real old-fashioned apostolic Christians have to bear a cross. Yes, sir, friend. That cross is my nature. And you're not so good if it is across your nature. Man or woman, the devil has got your number out there somewhere. If you've got a price on your wholeness and upon your purity, the devil will bid and get it because he can pay it. He can pay it, brother. Don't you worry for one moment. You're on the auction block tonight as sure as you're here. And that old rugged cross looks pretty rugged when it looks easier over there. This old rugged cross looks pretty dull. And our services seem pretty dry at home when you know the bebops are going down the street and you begin to listen to their music and play their tunes around about your house and your home. The first thing you know, you'll find easier to go to Sodom. Somebody said, well, we all our young people see what's going on. That's what Lot did. He didn't get them out. They looked so long till they couldn't get out. Brother, I'll tell you, I don't know what Solomon's doing. In fact, don't even tell me. I know too much now. I don't care what the world's doing. Don't describe their sins to me. Don't tell me what they're like. It might strike a chord in my own soul that I don't even know is there. I don't want to find that place. I don't want to find that temptation there. God, keep me spiritual, holy in spirit, in mind, in heart. And brother, if that's right, I believe I'll look holy on the outside. But there's a cross up, and I can't go any further long as many things could be said, but I must bring this to a close. There is the cross of the divine will of God to carry this gospel. Brother, we can't stay at home and feel like we've succeeded because we've raised our Sunday school to 300, 400, and 500, and that's enough. From every church, there should be missionaries. From every church, there ought to be workers. From every church, there ought to be ministers to go in this harvest field. Well, the life has a lot of unexpected crosses. He said to Pharaoh, if there's a man, but he's in prison. Pharaoh said, get him out. That day I made a dash down there to get Joseph dressed up and fixed up and put him in good-looking clothes, get him on deck of that up there in the Pharaoh's court while the whole court's waiting for him to come inside. There that little prisoner boy lived from the backside of a desert, betrayed by his friends, forsaken by those that loved him, and lied upon by his embroidered wife. Spent many months in this prison, but he walks in there not all sour, not all bitter, not as full of anger, not full of bad feelings, but he walked in there as this is my day, my opportunity. Friend, your opportunity will come if you will bear your cross faithfully. It'll come. It will come. It will come. But the sad part is, when it does come, are you ready for it? We interpret Pharaoh's dream. He said, those lean cattle, those lean ears, is going to eat up those fat ears, that fat cattle. Going to be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. He said, Pharaoh, that's the dream. I'd give you some advice, but you've got plenty here. I'd get somebody to take care of all of that so we won't have any famine in the land. Brother, the Bible tells me that God was with him. I believe the Lord turned a little light on the side of Pharaoh's mind. He got a little idea. He said, son, you sound pretty good. I'll make you that. Brother, he's wearing the ring of the prime minister. He's robed with the prime minister's robe. And that chariot going down the street behind Pharaoh, it's got the markings of Pharaoh and Prime Minister Joseph. But let me tell you, friend, before he got there, he carried a cross. Can God depend on us carrying what he's put upon us? I tell you something. When the world needed corn, they had to find their Joseph. Yes, sir, friend. Let me tell you, when this world really finds their need, they want to find our heavenly Joseph because he's the only one who has the corn. I'm asking you to pray to the Almighty God, give this kind of Pentecostal church a fresh vision of the cross, a burden for the lost. By the help and grace of God, we come back here, come back to the next conference next year. I ask, dear God, I do want to say I won at least one soul for Christ Jesus. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, that concludes Elder Paul Price's message. And what a powerful, powerful message that this has been. Life's unexpected crosses. You know, I would feel like I would diminish any of his message if I would try to comment on any of it. I'm just going to read a few excerpts and quotes that Brother Paul Price made here, beginning with position. When you attain position in the church, you don't lose your cross, it's just a different cross. And he said, this is not hard. It's not a hard thing to carry the cross, but it's hard for slackers. But praise God, we don't have slackers in our church. Amen. The cross of righteousness must be picked up every morning, he said. He also said that the Holy Ghost is not a ticket to heaven, it's a guide to glory. Make the cross easy, and you make a weak Christian. And last of all, let's keep what we have, but let's press on to perfection. Praise God. Church, we hope that you've enjoyed and you've appreciated and you're able to glean some of this great message and spirit. And someone made a comment about Brother Paul Price. You can hear the anointing. You can feel the conviction in his voice. Church, let's get a hold of that. We need that today more than never. Praise God. And with that said, we want to remind everyone about our youth devotion tonight at 7:15 p.m. We look forward to having everyone back on this call at that time. Have a great day today in Jesus' name. Amen.